Good afternoon and welcome to the EcoNews Report, a production of the North Coast Environmental Center in conjunction with KHSU, located on the campus of Humboldt State University. I'm Raina Nanayel, your host for the EcoNews Report. I am the Executive Director of the North Coast Environmental Center, and our guest today is Dan Arisman, Policy Analyst with Healthy Humboldt, a program of the North Coast Environmental Center. He'll be speaking with us today about the Water Resources section of the County General Plan. Thank you so much for joining me, Dan. Can you tell me a little bit about Healthy Humboldt? What's your program's focus?
Well, Healthy Humboldt was formed around 2003. It was a collaborative effort on behalf of the North Coast Environmental Center, Humboldt Watershed Council, and the Sierra Club to focus on the county's general plan. It was in 2008 or so that Humboldt Baykeeper and Green Wills joined to bring their expertise and their experience in the field to the table. Since that time, we've been working on a variety of issues from transportation. We had a successful run at advocating for complete streets policies at the Planning Commission level. And right now, at this point in time, we're addressing the Water Resources section of the general plan. And that talks about issues from watershed planning to exports to water storage and impaired watersheds.
Great. I understand that a central focus of the current water resources component of the County General Plan is based on a concept called watershed planning. What is watershed planning? Just for people out there who might not have a sense of that, what is a watershed? What is watershed planning? What does that look like? Why is this a central focus of your program?
Well, watersheds, as some of us may know, are the basins of our creeks and rivers. Watershed planning is a concept that ties our land use decisions to our watersheds. Given that our land use management directly relates to watershed health, we feel that this is a really key concept to integrate into the general plan, as well as for folks just to have more of a watershed awareness in our own lives.
Excellent. With regard to a watershed-based planning approach, what are some of the primary concerns, either of Healthy Humboldt, local citizenry, or even the county, related to water resource issues? Things not unlike sediment discharge or erosion, diversion, obstructions, and things of that nature. What are you focused on?
Yeah, well, there's quite a laundry list, obviously, of concerns within our watersheds. The primary concern that we're looking at, or one of the primary concerns, is the issue of sediment pollution. Sedimentation is a natural process, but it can be exacerbated or it can be increased by land management practices, including how we build our roads, how we design our neighborhoods, and even how we build our houses. All of that relates to healthy water flows on the landscape and also sediment impacts due to erosion and things of that nature.
So what is the specific cause of many of these, what we could term ecological impacts to watersheds? You mentioned some things that really lead to these, road construction or lack of maintenance, things of this sort. What is actually going on there? What specifically is happening?
Yeah. Throughout the decades, our watersheds have seen a lot of changes. I mean, when we talk about our watershed health at this point in time, it's important to look at the context, of the historical context. Back in the late 1800s, we saw a lot of industrial forestry, industrial scale fishing that really had a big impact on salmon and their habitat. At this point in time, those historic impacts continue, but they're also coupled with issues that we face today that we've been talking about, such as road construction, new road construction, road maintenance, which is a really huge issue that we're focusing on in the general plan update and our recommendations in front of the Planning Commission. The excess sediment as a result of these activities, as we're aware, degrades salmon habitat. Sediment chokes out salmon spawning areas. Dirt and gravel roads have been identified as one of the major sources of sediment pollution in the North Coast Basin based on numerous studies that have been done. Numerous watershed analysis conducted throughout the years have shown that roads associated with timber activities as well as private development have contributed between 21 to 98% of human-induced sediment in our watersheds, which is quite striking.
It really is. Many of the things talked about in large enough quantities or scopes become pollutants or mechanisms of watershed degradation, meaning that the water course ceases to function properly or that the water delivery systems cease to function. Either someone at the top of a watershed or a water rights holder at the bottom of a watershed may not be getting sufficient water during drought times. We might not have sufficient in-stream flows during drought times to support salmon. So there's water availability issues, and then there's also water health issues. Some things like roads, and I know that you've talked before about pollution that can accumulate off of the impermeable surfaces or the runoff of roads really adds a lot in terms of pollutants.
That's exactly right. There have been numerous studies done on impermeable surfaces, such as roads throughout the landscape. And these surfaces really do have a substantial impact on not only increases in sediment loads and increases in pollution from the runoff, but also it prevents stormwater from infiltrating into the landscape and replenishing groundwater supplies. Just to note, our groundwater is crucial for maintaining the flows of our creeks and rivers through the summer months and into the dry season. It keeps our waters flowing. It keeps them cool and replenished, which is critical for the survival of salmonids.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, too, I think a lot of people, and myself included, might not realize that with regard to fresh water and just water in the world, some 97% is contained in our oceans, 2% in the cryosphere, which is glacial and iceberg. Groundwater comprises 0.68% of our water, compared to lakes, which come in at 0.01, and rivers at 0.0001, just to put some perspective on how critical groundwater really is. And I might also mention that soils hold 0.005% of our water.
Yeah. And I think it is really important to keep in mind those numbers. And as we're talking numbers, looking at how in a few months it's projected that our Earth's population is going to hit the 7 billion mark in population, human population. And that's giving rise to a lot of instability throughout the regions with regard to availability of clean, fresh water for human use.
So let's talk about what some of the solutions to water resource conservation in Humboldt County and potentially beyond are that your program has been working on with the county and others.
Well, going back to watershed planning, I think that one of the key concepts that we're focusing on, when we think on the watershed scale and utilize watershed planning, our local governments can identify specific pollutants and their sources. With that data, we can utilize that data to help and restore specific sites that need attention. One of the other concepts that we're looking at is the designation of critical watershed areas. So identifying critical salmon spawning habitat and safeguarding that habitat so that future populations can flourish.
And remember, too, that it's not even just about preserving and conserving and making sure that the ecosystem is healthy enough to support viable runs of salmon, but also that there's a human element there. There are people, there are tribes that depend on those resources, those food items for the subsistence of themselves and also for small business. So this is an incredibly important issue.
And that's exactly right. That's another issue that we're focusing on is ensuring that the future generations within Humboldt County have access to stable supply of water. And our environment and our human use is directly interlinked. And we need to be conscious of both in order to have a sustainable future.
Very true. What are some of the solutions that Healthy Humboldt is working on with regard to specific on-site water resource issues like low-impact development, water storage, and road maintenance? Could you talk to me about those?
So one of the concepts that we've touched on in the past and in past chapters of the general plan update is low-impact development. And low-impact development is an approach to development road construction and general residential construction that works within our natural systems to ensure that our waters are infiltrating into the landscape and maintaining their courses in their natural drainages. It employs principles like rainwater gardens, and impermeable pavement, bioswales. A lot of these methods can be employed both in rural and urban areas. And these are strategies that can be employed regardless of the general plan, obviously. But we feel that the county is well positioned to take the next step and to promote these practices as part of the general plan to really think into the future for preserving our water resources for both salmon, steelhead, and also for our drinking water supplies for rivers to play and recreate in.
So with regard to water storage, what kinds of contraptions, so to speak, are we talking about here? What are some of the things that people can do with regard to water storage?
Yeah, well, a couple key issues. First off, we're looking at storage and promoting storage for residential uses within impaired watersheds. We're advocating for rainwater harvest from our roofs and other impermeable surfaces. Our rain is a perfect and amazing source of of water that is pure for human consumption, and we're advocating that in watersheds that are impaired due to flow and based on extraction and other issues, we feel that storage in these watersheds is going to be a crucial step to really ensure that the rivers are getting the water that they need and to keep the flows up. And rainwater harvest can be utilized collection such as ponds, tanks, and rainwater gardens, as we mentioned before.
Uh-huh. And that's also interesting because it's kind of a way for people to get off the grid with regard to water. And there's a kind of self-reliance component of this that's really interesting. And I know in this area specifically, we have such a rich history of people wanting to really be living a life of self-reliance, but also deep connection to the resources that they are consuming.
Well, I think that storage really does hit home for a lot of folks. It ties into the issues of local self-reliance. It decentralizes the sources of our water, which makes it easier for residences to feel secure in the places that they are, particularly in areas that are dry through 4 months of the year. In relation to rainwater catchment and wet weather storage of water from the rainy season, we're advocating for concepts such as gray water systems installation.
With regard to gray water catchment and gray water systems, essentially you're utilizing water that's already been used on your property for other uses, thereby recycling water and meeting your water needs more efficiently.
Yeah, that's correct. Several months ago, we had on this program Laura Allen, who works with Gray Water Action out of Oakland, California. And she is one of the leading sources of information along with the Gray Water Action crew. Humboldt County has come from a strong tradition living off the grid of local self-reliance, and gray water ties directly into that. A lot of people have gray water systems employed out in the hills, and we would really love to see gray water systems utilized more frequently to replenish our groundwater supplies. It's a great way to treat on-site water that would be otherwise considered wastewater, which is, as we've seen with the problems of relating the infrastructure through Eureka, throughout many other cities in the nation, we're seeing our utilities degrading. And decentralizing these systems is a great way to maintain our lower impact on the earth.
Mm-hmm. It also has something to do with cost as well. It's not utility costs are going up for people, and this is potentially another way for them to keep their economic situation under control.
That's exactly right.
I understand that Healthy Humboldt is really interested and working on not only the issues of today with regard to the water resources section, but because the county general plan is looking at planning for the next 20 years, it becomes even more important to look at water allocation because you're not only trying to solve the issues with water delivery and water quality of today, but also project the issues associated with water delivery, water availability, and water quality of tomorrow and up into 20 years. So this is incredibly important work. What can you tell me about how that's coming along and what some of the perspectives are that you're finding?
Well, given that our current general plan was adopted in 1984, we're well over the 20-year mark, which general plans are set for. These are long-term plans, as you mentioned. And going back to watershed planning, just planning in general is a crucial step. The more that we plan for the future, the less it costs in the end. If we're not doing a good job planning it, we are put in situations where we have to go back and restore. And restoration costs a substantial amount of money.
It does. It's funny. Going back to the 90s, we really thought that restoration was going to be the fix-all, the catch-all in biological work and in with regard to water issues, watershed issues, and even timber and forest issues. And what we've found, you know, I want to say globally, is that the costs are prohibitive, that some of the systems can't be restored, and that it's really very difficult. So planning today for the impacts and potential needs of tomorrow is really, really, really important. Just to get a sense of where we are now with water resources, because I want to say I think people in Humboldt County are like, hey, it rains all the time here. What's the deal with water? How important is conserving water right now? And give us a sense of how is our water budget?
Humboldt County is in a really interesting situation here. In the Humboldt Bay Area, we're seeing a perceived overabundance of water with the storage on the Mad River. But throughout the rest of the county, it's pretty clear that our watersheds are overburdened. We look at the Mattole, we look at the South Fork Eel, and numerous other watersheds throughout the county. We're clearly in a place where we need to be mindful of where we're going into the future. I think that one of the key concepts to keep in mind in the Humboldt Bay Area, even with the perceived excess of water, is that these strategies, given the increasing demand into the future, are really key. And a lot of the strategies, such as gray water systems installation, rainwater catchment, things of that nature, can be equally applied in areas where it seems like we have an abundance of water. But truly, in many of our watersheds, the need is very pressing. And that's why one of the focuses behind the efforts is to look at the watersheds that need the most help right now and to promote policies and actual on-the-ground systems that work to preserve water resources.
This is really about more than water for wildlife or water for the ecosystem. This is about making sure that property owners, folks who are farmers, have access to their water rights, and that those who depend on salmon fisheries for their livelihood have adequate in-stream flows to support salmon populations, and that during drought periods, which California naturally experiences as a Mediterranean climate, that we have enough water to see us through, that we have enough water essential for the subsistence and economy of locally. So water conservation is really an issue, especially with regard to the county general plan, that everyone has to get behind and work together on.
Yeah.
How big of an issue is the export of water between, say, intra-watersheds or local watersheds and then out-of-area export? Can we talk about that for a minute?
Well, there's a section in the water resources chapter of the general plan that addresses watershed exports. And water exports is an increasingly hot button topic here. We're in a place where the Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District is considering what to do with the excess water. And that brings up a lot of concerns for local residents. How do we maintain our water rights into the future and also maintain enough water to protect the resources and to maintain for human use? When we look at other watersheds such as the Klamath, the Eel River, and the dams and diversions throughout the county, that's another issue that needs to be addressed. And there are a few policies that aim to address those issues in the general plan. So on the issue of water exports, a couple of the policies that we're focusing in on are the restoration of flow rates on the Trinity and Klamath and the Eel Rivers. Currently, well, one of the key issues around advocating for restoration of the flow rates is to maintain water for local usage and for benefit to the fisheries. And when we talk about issues of flow throughout our local watersheds, flow contributes to the natural sediment and transport moving gravel and fine sediments through the system. The higher water flows are crucial for flushing fine sediment, which, as we know, is really detrimental to salmonids.
In some ways, you can make a parallel between soil impaction and in-stream impaction, where in the in-stream environment, you need the larger flows to flush through to move the sediment and the fine sediment particulates to keep the in-stream habitat from becoming impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar situation when you're looking at soil impaction. So, you know, these two systems are different, but it's a similar issue.
That's true. And they're directly linked together. One consideration that we look at in the work that we do is the impact to the ground, and as far as open areas, points of erosion, and also compaction of the soil. And when we talk about compaction, that's really an issue of increasing the amount of water that's flowing over the land.
Exactly.
And contributing sediment into our watershed. So as we compact the soil, we take away the nature of that soil to absorb the water. And when we look at pull back the lens a little bit and look at the larger landscape of the earth itself, the soil itself is a living sponge. And that storage capacity is an essential component of healthy watersheds and healthy intact ecosystems.
So speaking of salmon, we keep talking about salmon and around salmon. I know that one of the issues that we need to kind of look at is getting some historical flow data and coming to some sort of conclusion about what an adequate flow would be, what adequate flows in different mm-hmm. watershed systems mm-hmm. would be.
Mm-hmm.
All of this directly relates to water export. It relates to a watershed approach. It relates to conservation of salmon. What are we talking about when we are talking about a history of either water flows or history of salmon populations? What were we looking at historically?
Well, throughout the county, it was a varied landscape. Look at the Mad River, and that's a river system that has been substantially altered. And some have put forward the idea that with the upper watershed catchment that has been put in place, it has actually served to benefit water flows throughout the dry season. That may not be true on the smaller watersheds that are off of the main stem, but it is an interesting thing to look at.
And we had something like hundreds of thousands of salmon in some of the larger rivers here historically. Tens of thousands of salmon in some of the smaller river systems.
Yeah, that's true. When we look at the historical context as far as salmon populations, we have seen a substantial decline over the years of steelhead, chinook, and coho. Fortunately, this year we've seen a resurge in the populations of the chinook, but coho, as a recent article in the North Coast Journal came out, it's a pretty sad state for the coho. And that really reinforces the importance of an updated general plan. The last plan done in 1984, since then, coho have been listed. Other species have been listed due to impacts from past and ongoing land management activities.
And it's a really critical time, not only a critical time, but a very optimistic time, because unlike other counties in California, we have the ability to do some really effective planning here because we don't have some of the influx in terms of people moving into the area. The amount of rural and residential sprawl that other counties see, the amount of urbanization impacts, increases in agriculture are something that we have to a degree, but maybe not as high a degree as other counties. So we really do have an opportunity to get watershed planning into our general plan and to include fisheries as part of something that Humboldt County can be known for, to try to protect and conserve fisheries before some of these impacts that might take place, before we do see population growth maybe 10 years from now. We can get all of this kind of in the plan and make watersheds prominent, because water is an essential subsistence resource for everyone and everything.
Yeah. That's true. Just to touch on the point of development within suburban sprawl and development in the county, it is a slow rate, but it's happening nonetheless. And we are seeing agricultural lands and timberlands being converted to residential uses. Of course, that has a mixed bag of drawbacks and advantages, and the impacts are different. Our land management practices, regardless of whether it's industrial forest or residential development, are making an impact. It is varied. And with watershed planning and more data collection, we can really harness the information that is needed to make the important decisions to restore our watersheds.
And so that's the science side, the planning, the baseline data, the accumulation of a kind of logical course of action. And then there's also on the side of direct action and or restoration, there are things that the listeners can do, or there are areas of import, like making sure that there are adequate buffer zones for riparian areas because of the direct connection to water temperature. Mm-hmm. And there's water storage issues through many of the things we've talked about. Interstitial water storage, so making sure that soils aren't compacted. There's swales. And when we talk about swales, we're kind of talking about something in restoration that's akin to biomimicry, where you imitate the variability of the surface of the soil into hummocks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the biomimicry that we're talking about, that's a fundamental principle behind low impact development and maintaining that natural flow, the hydrological system, making sure that that remains intact.
Because we want to make sure that percolation and evapotranspiration happen very slowly. So you want to maximize how slowly the water infiltrates into the soil so that it can actually be captured by groundwater and not run off.
Yeah. And one good mantra on that note, Brock Dolman at the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, which is a great resource for a lot of these issues. The mantra, slow it, sink it, spread it. When we come to water resources. So slowing down the water as it moves across the landscape, sinking it down into the soil and into the groundwater and spreading it across the landscape.
Exactly. And if you ever get a chance out there, listeners, to hear Brock Dolman, he's just fantastic. He's just a poet of the water.
That's true.
So where can people look into getting involved in rainwater and graywater catchment? I understand that you had a book that you thought was a great resource for folks.
Yeah. When we were talking earlier, one book that is a great resource, particularly in the more rural parts of the county, is Rainwater Harvesting for Drylands. It's equally applicable in cities that have less rainfall, but it's a great resource for learning how to practice techniques that will slow it, sink it, spread it.
And we in the West here have an affinity for flattening the lands, throwing on some Kentucky bluegrass and calling it good. So even the backyard gardener or the single family homeowner can really do something here.
That's right.
You can remove your grass.
Yep.
You can, you know, modify the topography of your plot. You can plant native plants. You can see the kind of biodiversity that increases in your backyard. And you can contribute by having rainwater and graywater systems installed. And there are probably many resources for that online.
That's right. Graywater Action is a great resource for simple graywater systems, rainwater catchment systems that can be employed equally in town or in the hills. Graywateraction.org, Occidental Arts and Ecology Center, another great resource that we mentioned. They have a website, and you can also take a tour down in Occidental, and it's a great place to go and to see some of these concepts in practice.
So, or what would you ask of the listeners in terms of ways that they can get involved and help to move this into a really sustainable and helpful general plan?
Yeah, well, I think there's a few key things. One, as far as people getting directly involved in the general plan, there's a hearing coming up next week on Thursday, the 21st, at 5 o'clock at the Supervisor's Chambers at the Humboldt County Courthouse. And there, the Planning Commission will be starting their deliberations on this critical chapter of the general plan. One other key strategy that folks can employ is communication with friends and neighbors about these issues, actually applying these strategies on the ground. Santa Cruz County has a great manual for road maintenance, for instance, for private road maintenance, and that's something that we hope that this county can take part in, is a more active role in education and collaboration with watershed groups and other organizations to really promote these best management practices for whether it be road construction, maintenance, or gray water systems, or various strategies to safeguard watershed health.
What would you say to folks that are concerned about increased regulations and impositions from the county or state as a result of water conservation measures?
Well, when we get into talking about regulations, I think that we need to keep in mind the state of our watersheds. It's clear that we need to be promoting practices that support clean, cool, abundant water in our watersheds. We also need to be clearly supporting educational efforts, because that's one thing we feel that is an important strategy that often gets left out, and the strength in communicating with our neighbors and our friends to really step up our actions in our watersheds, in our cities, in our towns.
Cool. So I guess I would say to that we also have to remember this is also about self-reliance, but that Healthy Humboldt is working with the county to get the county to work with the local citizenry and property owners and businesses and...
Yeah, that's right. Collaboration is a strong component of many of our recommendations that we're putting forward. We're seeing the collaborative approach being employed in other counties throughout the state and throughout the nation on the working within agencies, interagency cooperation, and then cooperation with various organizations and individuals, road maintenance associations. The list goes on. I mean, we really do need to take a more collaborative role to really restore our watersheds.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Dan.
Thank you, Rain.
Dan Arisman is a policy analyst for Healthy Humboldt, a program of North Coast Environmental Center. And just a couple announcements. We have a couple events coming up tonight. The North Coast Environmental Center is having its 40th anniversary mixer, a chance to meet the new executive director and staff. We'd love to have you out. It is going to be held from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Plaza Grill View Room, Jacoby Storehouse, and we welcome all our members and supporters to come on out and have a really good time with us, some wine and cheese and whatnot. This Saturday, the City of Arcata's Invasive Plant Removal Work Day is happening. That's Saturday the 16th. It's sponsored by Friends of the Arcata Marsh and the North Coast Environmental Center. It will be held from 9 to 1. Snacks, drinks, and tools are provided. Bring gloves and dress to get dirty. We'll meet at the first parking lot on South I Street from Samoa. Contact information for that event, you can call Dennis, 825-2163. This has been the EcoNews Report, and my name is Raina Naneo, and I've been your host for the past half hour. I was speaking with Dan Arisman, policy analyst with Healthy Humboldt, a program of the North Coast Environmental Center. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. The EcoNews Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. Thanks to our engineer, Fred McLaughlin. Please join us again next Thursday at 1:30 here on KHSU for the EcoNews Report.